podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome along to the Shackles Are Off podcast, and it's a winner's podcast yet again.
It's a daily podcast as well, Greg, you don't forget it that.
It's the daily podcast, it's the World Cup T20 daily podcast. I'll tell you what, we need to start doing them daily. We've ramped it up, we've ramped the podcast frequency up, and England's winning frequency has been great so far. Two wins out of two look really convincing. 8-wicket win over Bangladesh to follow up that absolute demolition job of the West Indies on Saturday. Now, this one is a big one this Saturday, Chris Millard, isn't it? It's not an Ashes precursor. It's a different format. It's a different competition. It's a completely different feel. It's almost two completely different squads. But it's against Australia. You know what I mean? It's like feels like a bit of a precursor. And Barmy Army, it's like massive for the Barmy Army as well, isn't it?
Any game against Australia for the English cricket team is a huge game, and with it being in a World Cup just amplifies that somewhat, especially a World Cup that is days before the Ashes. A lot of the players in both teams will be featuring in the squads, more so probably in the Aussie team than the England team, but there's definitely going to be a bit of niggle there straight up. I can almost envisage the heat coming out of Johnny's ears already, just pumped up to get on the field and get stuck into the Aussie boys. So, yeah, I'm buzzing for it. I can't wait to watch it.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, Stokesy, we've obviously had that announcement between now and the last podcast that he's going to be on that plane to Australia for the Ashes. I mean, you called it. You put a great tweet out saying, you know, imagine this is the date and Stokesy's done this and England have won the Ashes down under. And it's, hey, it's starting to look like it's coming true. When you put it out initially, I was going, yeah, it's a nice thought, but it's not happening. But actually, it's, keep reposting that one.
It was a pipe dream. Part one complete. Stokesy's on the plane. Part two is 15,000 Aussies in Australia watching us take the urn home in that fourth and fifth test. Could happen. Could happen.
It could do. I think it could do. So that was great news this week from a Barmy Army perspective as well. Now, this week's guest is Saqib Mahmood, England's ODI player of the summer, really, who's absolutely belting. And a really nice lad as well, from what we've been told. So looking forward to having a little chat with him. Now, before we do chat to Saq, we've just got a little bit more chat to do about... Well, we've been to Sixers Cricket Club. Sixers Cricket Club, if you do not know what this is, it is awesome. It's like a cricket badger's dream.
If you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what it is, then I'd be very, very surprised, because they are just the most perfect bar for a cricket fan, right?
Oh, my word. It's just frightening. I remember the first time I saw a video of it, just before it was opened, right, Sixers. And I remember thinking, oh, my word, this is quality. Why has this not been done before?
So we've got three venues now at Sixers. There's two in London, and there's also one in Manchester now for the Northern-based Barmy Army listeners. However, opening on the 16th of December, there is going to be a Birmingham venue, the hub of the Barmy Army, Edgbaston, Broad Street. Oh, so many good times down in Birmingham. Now to throw Sixers in there, where you can go and have a pint, a nice bite to eat, and also have a little bat while you're there. It is just going to be good, isn't it? Next year, it's going to be good.
You know what? It's going to be great. And it's also great for like Christmas parties and stuff over the winter. You know, or even just going with a few mates, you know, particularly with the Ashes on as well. It'd be quite good, you know, when the Ashes fever catches on. Great venue for the Barmy Army during the test matches at Edgbaston next year, and also Old Trafford. That's going to be nice. 10% off food and drinks with Barmy 10 between now and Christmas. So take full advantage of that. It's going to be brilliant. Just use that code in your booking notes or at one of the venues. So Sixers Cricket Club. It's also the scene of the brilliant video of Phil Tufnell, who was very inebriated when he was having a bat and swinging around and just ended up in a pile on the floor. Very funny.
Legend. We need to get Tufnell on this pod.
Yeah, we do, actually. Yeah, we do. This World Cup is going along nicely. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Do share and subscribe. A lot of you are doing, I think. there's been a few downloads. So, yeah, thanks for passing on the podcast. It's been really good. So thank you so much. And let's just get into it with England's white ball player of the summer for us, Saqib Mahmood, here on the Shackles Are Off World Cup T20 Daily Podcast.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite funny. I think it's quite funny that it's a little mouthful. Thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it. Bit of downtime for you at the moment, then. Are you getting stuck into watching some of your fellow teammates and pals in the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, not exactly downtime. We're busy training pretty much every day here at the moment. I just got back from Loughborough today. But yeah, the two times, obviously, the boys have played. You know, got the telly on and watched them with the two pretty convincing wins, which has been good to see.
Yeah, and does it feel like a breakthrough summer in many ways for you this year? You know, you've had a properly really good full summer at it with fans back in and stuff as well, and playing a bit for England and taking loads of wickets. You must be pretty pleased with how things have gone, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've obviously first started playing for England in New Zealand in 2019, and then a little bit in 2020, and played a few games at home, but obviously there was no fans. And like you said, this year to get the call up where under the most unforeseen circumstances I think we've ever had, to obviously out of nowhere be playing for England in a couple of days after a call was pretty surreal. And then just how the couple of weeks in an England shirt this summer went were amazing for me. And I guess for me, it was the first time playing in front of the home fans as well, playing in England. You know, my family were there watching. It was pretty special, yeah.
Because we had Phil Salt, obviously our new Lancashire teammate, on the podcast earlier on in the week, episode 2 of this like World Cup series that we're doing. And he was called up in that same circumstance in the summer when it was like, right, okay, get your kit, lads, you're playing. And he said it was a bit bizarre because he'd kind of waited for it for so long and didn't really, you know, expect it to happen like that. For you, it was different, obviously, you know, you'd played before. But it was, I can't remember, we didn't really ask Phil this, did we, Chris? But I wonder what the atmosphere was like with in the dressing room and stuff there, because it must have been a bit weird, but almost like a bit of a free hit for a lot of the lads who'd not played before.
You know, it was actually quite weird because obviously everyone turned up. We turned up to the hotel first the night before, and then obviously we had training the next day, yeah, that was right. And obviously got there. I got there later than everyone else. Obviously coming from Manchester, and just seeing Nando was outside everyone's room, and you just realised obviously because it was pretty strict, everyone was just in their rooms. We couldn't even see each other. And then the next day at training, I mean, you got to give credit to the group where everyone just turned up and just cracked on with their own game. Like we had a warm up to start with, and came into dressing rooms at Sophia Gardens. Everyone just settled in, and it was literally straight to business for a lot of people. And it was, you know, at the time you just take it for granted, but it was actually pretty cool looking back at it now, where you've got a bunch of guys some guys I'd never met before. You know, David Payne was someone I'd never spoken to, a few guys I'd never played with. And we literally one training session, and the next day we were playing. And for me personally, I think it was quite good that it was that little time. Usually I think if we had like a week's build up, then I would have started to obsess over certain skills, but looking back, my game was in a good place going into that, as I reckon a few of the other guys were as well. So it was literally just to get in day before. I remember we had training, and this before I started bowling, I sort of went over to Spoons. I was like, Spoons, obviously you don't have to say the team, but if I was to play, would I be taking the new ball, or would I bowl in the middle, just so I could practice the day before around that, and he just said to me, look, you'll take the new ball, you'll be the guy who sets our tone, you're our man. And for me, that was, at that time, it was all I needed to hear, because I played in games before where other guys are the main bowlers. And then for me, it was obviously this time, it was me who had to do that role a little bit. And then I just went and practiced my skills the day before the game, as usually would, and then just went upstairs and got all my kit sorted. And then even then, Stokes, he was going around and telling all the guys who were playing and who wasn't, and he sort of pulled me over and he was just like, you'll take the new ball. You'll be the guy who takes that new ball and sets the tone for us. And for me, you know, I'm used to that responsibility for Lancashire, and that's what brings the best out of me, is when I have that responsibility. Instead of feeling like another bowler in the attack, I was made to feel like the bowler in the attack, if that makes sense. And yeah, it got the best out of me. And those three games were, yeah, couldn't have asked for much more.
It was incredible, the three games, from a fan's perspective, thinking, oh, so we've lost most of the ODI side. Then for you guys to come in and to completely blow the opposition away, again, just say, wow, there's no wonder we're number one in the world with a strength and depth like this. You look at the side that we put out with you guys, you think you probably walk into a lot of the other ODI teams in the world. You're just unfortunate that we are so strong in some aspects to be in almost a second string, but you've done incredibly well. And you made a real impact on the Barmy Army as well. Your first experience, I would imagine, of playing in front of the Barmy Army, other than in New Zealand, would have been at Edgbaston in the second ODI, I think it was.
Third
ODI, sorry. Yeah, and I can remember we'd sold about, I think it was 600-700 tickets that day, and it was going to be a big day out. We had a lot of songbooks printed with the wrong players' names in, but we'll ignore that. But we got there, and we were singing our hearts out for you boys. Can you remember the atmosphere that day? Can you remember what it was like?
Yeah, so if I talk over the sort of three-game series, first game was Cardiff. There was restrictions on fans.
Yeah.
And then the second game was at Lords. I remember, having never played for England at Lords. I played a game for Lancashire Lords a few years ago, but obviously county cricket's different to international cricket. And I just remember hearing this sort of eerie noise in the morning. There's a bit of rain around, and it was just, you know, chatter as you do at Lords. And obviously later on in the summer when I was there for the test, it was a similar thing. And, you know, but it was the first time I'd sort of heard that at cricket ground, and it was different. But yeah, I was running on about 3 hours sleep on that Lords game. So while we were batting, luckily we won the toss and batted, and I was trying to get some sleep in while we were batting. But I remember the third game, obviously at Edgbaston, comes with a reputation of obviously having the best atmosphere in the country, especially that Holly stand when it gets going. And I just remember, obviously, I really wanted to bowl first that day, just because I wanted to get out there straight away. And it was obviously Bob Willis's day as well, which I remember.
Yeah.
I remember getting stuck into it. And I remember my first ball that day. But bear in mind, the first ball of the series I bowled was a wicket. That one went for four. And you could hear the noise. There was obviously a lot of Pakistani fans as well in there. And for me, it was almost like, okay, we're in here. And usually you don't necessarily take all of that in, but I just remember coming to that game at Edgbaston thinking the main squad will probably be back. I don't know when my next chance will come. So what I'm going to try and do is take it all in today. And I felt like I did that. And it was a pretty special day as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Born in Birmingham. Where did you grow up, Saqib?
So I was born in Birmingham, but I moved up to Manchester quite young. Right. With some of my family. But my first game I went to watch was a Warwickshire game. They played Essex. The only player I remember is Neil Carter. I couldn't tell you anyone else. And I just remember being one of those kids sat in Edgbaston just constantly shouting, come on, you Bears. And I remember the other side of the ground, there was these Essex fans who kept shouting, come on, you Eagles. So like we'd obviously have a little bit of a comp, and then what we did was, you know what, we're going to go and sit right by them. Just literally at the end, we went all the way around the other side of the ground, and sat a few rows behind them, and just tried to be louder than they were. But I remember that was my first. That was the first ever game of professional cricket I'd ever watched.
Oh mate, Chris, it sounds like Sack could fit great into the Barmy Army then with that attitude.
Welcome
like
anytime, Sack. Welcome anytime with your singing.
They'll have to get me in at some point. But I'd rather be playing out there. So.
Yeah, yeah, you've got plenty of years after your career to join us, mate. Get on the pitch first.
I was going to say, when we talk to some of the older players, and you know, you think, yeah, they go, oh yeah, maybe a couple of years left. That's when we're angling for them to come in, you know, help us out.
You know, a few years ago, I played a club game, must have been 2017 or 18. It was after the first day-night game we played against West Indies at Edgbaston, if you remember. Yeah. I think it was the first day we had in England. And after one of the days, after the Friday, the Saturday, I had a club game and, you know, I was playing club cricket at Formby. Haseeb Ameed was playing, Stephen Parry, Ajmal Shahzad, all of these guys who played for England, we were playing at Formby. And in the opposition, Monty Panesar rocks up. And he'd been in with you guys. He'd been in the Barmy Army the day before. And it was obviously a day night, so he'd have been on it till late. And I just remember, obviously, we knew Monty was at the test the night before. And rocks up the next day. He's on the other side. And he's got these Oakley shades on. And it turns up, obviously, warm up, Oakley shades. They bowl first. Still got these shades on. Obviously you've got tea or lunch or whatever in the interval, still got these shades on. And then later on, sort of like 5-6 o'clock, he comes out to bat, like, you know, sort of get into that twilight period, it's getting a little bit dark. Monty comes out, shades still on. I'm thinking, bloody hell, like, surely these are coming off at some point. Game finishes in the bar after the game and he's still got his shades on. I was thinking, he must have had the greatest day the day before of everyone because those shades did not come off.
I can confirm he was booked as our speaker for the Barmies, the annual Barmy Army event that day that you are talking about, and he did get well and truly stuck into the free bar that we put on for him. So no wonder he had the shades on.
Explains that then.
That's brilliant. Love that. Love that. By the way, that sounds like some league. Is that the Lancashire League?
We were in the Liverpool comp.
Okay.
This was years ago. For some reason, like, I remember Stephen Parry obviously was second team captain there. So he tried to get a few of the young players. And so me and Haseeb were playing for Formby. And then Ajmal Shahzad, I don't know how it worked out, but Ajmal Shahzad signed as well. Gary Keady was there. And Ian Colbain, who plays at Gloucester, his dad was the captain.
He's a Liverpool boy though, isn't he, Ian? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was one game where all of us played. So this league is timed cricket. So you have sort of 60 overs to get your points in the first innings, and then after that you don't get points. But because we were such a good side on paper, if the opposition won the toss and batted, they would bat for 65, 70 overs and give us hardly anything to chase the target down, because then they'd get a draw with more points, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I remember there was this one game where all of us played. Like, we had Ajmal Shahzad, Stephen Parry, Gary Keady, Ian Colbain, me, Haseeb. We had an overseas player as well. We had Ben Aitchison, who's now pro at Derby as well.
I feel sorry for the plumber on the other team.
So for a club side, it was literally like an all-star 11. It's got England caps in and all sorts. And we got beat.
We got beat
because it was a team called Northern. And they'd obviously batted 65, 70 overs. I remember I got a few nicks that day. I had 3 or 4 slips and I added an extra slip and Stephen Parry was going into slip. And he was just like, Sack, if they nick it, I'll tell you now, I'm not catching it. So literally like no one in club cricket was catching him in the slips. But they just put a half decent score on the board. But what they did was they just batted for ages and then we had like 20, 30 overs to bat. And our captain was like, right, lads, we're chasing this down. Whereas usually it's just block out for the draw, take it, it's game over. Like, they've not really come to get a game out of it.
Yeah.
So we thought, right, we're going to go for it. And now this left arm spinner just kept lobbing them off. And our guys just kept finding fielders and all sorts.
Oh, that's awesome.
That left arm spinner,
he'll be telling all his mates about that now every week.
I think he actually got 6 for 7. He got me out stumped as well, like 6 for 7 to try to target a short edge. But.
He'll be watching England in the ODIs or looking at the county championship scores on a Saturday with his pal going, got him out.
Yeah, he's dying out on it for the future, isn't he?
Yeah.
Love that. That's brilliant. Lank seems like a great place at the moment. And I'm not just saying that. It really does. We're 2 Yorkshiremen, by the way. So, you know, all cards on the table, me and Chris. But it does. You've got that good mix of like raw youth and also like the experience as well, you know, with obviously Jimmy coming back and obviously being around the guys, and he seems like he's probably a little bit, you see this a lot, don't you, with these big stars, somebody who's like a legend of the game, you know, seems a bit more receptive actually to helping guys out like yourself, Jimmy Anderson and obviously Liam's doing amazing at the moment, isn't he, with all the franchise stuff. And then you've got Dane Villas as well as Skip. And it's been, it's like a great, great mix of characters as well. Are you loving it at Lancashire at the moment? Because it does seem like a really good place to be.
Yeah, look, the squad we've got at the moment is, it covers a lot of bases. And I hope we get to see a day where we have everyone available, including the international players, all in the same 11, because I think we put out a pretty good side. But yeah, like you said, we have all bases covered, and you know, a lot of the guys in that side, we've grown up playing together. We've got a few senior guys, but a lot of the guys now are sort of mid-20s. So we're in the good years of our career. And so yeah, some of the cricket we've played this year, I mean, look, county cricket obviously gets a bit of stick, but I think, you know, we've obviously done well at Lancashire this year, but I'd say the brand of cricket we've played has been the best thing, because we've put out very good wickets at Old Trafford this year, like some real flat wickets, and backed our bowlers to take 20 wickets on those wickets and our batters to score big runs. And the games, I can't remember the last time an opposition side came to Old Trafford and took 20 wickets against us. Whereas we're doing that on a regular basis at home, and that's something which I think we pride ourselves on. And obviously certain people have roles to play. And I remember at the start of the season, Chappie pulling me into his office and saying, for you, the most important games are the ones at Old Trafford. And obviously for me, you go away from Old Trafford, you see grass on the wicket, and you see all these bowlers cleaning up. And I'm being saved for Old Trafford, where literally I haven't seen grass on the wicket once in God knows how many years. But like, for me, you know, bowling on a wicket like that obviously makes you a better bowler, and to try and get results on a pretty flat wicket. Because the pitch is so abrasive, it suits my strengths a little bit as well, where, you know, your back end of games, you can get reverse swing, which we showed this year, and obviously it turns as well. So I guess, you know, back end of games, me and Parky have had a big role to play, and, you know, we've come through with that this year.
He's thinking of England as well there. He knows you're jetting off to Australia. You think, right, we need him to be on flat, fast track, just so he's ready when he gets the nod that he can do the business for the boys. Are you looking forward to jetting off over to Australia next week, is it? You'll be flying out with the Lions?
Yeah, we fly next week. Well, it should be good. We've obviously got the start of it is in Brisbane and in Queensland. But yeah, it'll be good. I was actually out there with the Lions 4 years ago as well for the last Ashes series. So I was having a bit of a joke with a few guys this year, you know, in the Loughborough Cricket Centre. It's got your names on the lockers for all the Lions boys. For the last few years, and I think I'm approaching my fourth or fifth year. I was like, probably be my testimonial soon. But yeah, look, obviously for me, I obviously just want to get out there and obviously just one, improve. It's better than being at home indoors. Obviously, I'm not part of the main squad, but for me, I just want to, you know, go out there and try and impress and improve as a cricketer and get fitter and all of that stuff that comes with it. And, you know, you never know what might happen at the end of the tour. But yeah, that's just the open mindset I've got with it. Just trying to get out there and try and do well and see what happens.
Quality. Now, Saqib, we have a little feature that we do here on the podcast. We were doing it all the way through the World Cup, which has been really good. We'll ask you about the World Cup actually shortly. It's a World Cup podcast. We've just been talking about you, which is great. But we do need to talk about the World Cup because England looked pretty good. But we'll come on to that shortly. We do a shocker of the week and a legend of the week. And then we've got Chorus Corner with some, you know, people send songs in and stuff, which is great. You know, you've obviously got experience of trying to outdo people in a stand. So we'll tap into that. But shocker of the week this week. I'm not sure if you've heard this or seen this. This is actually from Alex Hartley, who's at Lank. She was on part of the Test Match special coverage for Radio 5 Live Sports Extra. And it was during the Pakistan-New Zealand game. And it's been called the modern day legover moment, you know, the famous moment between Aggers and Brian Johnston. Have a listen to this. This is shocker of the week. Chuck, take it away.
So I'm familiar with sort of BAPS and
the best so thing
who,
about
who
that
says BAPS
Sodi into the attack.
It's Atif.
Atif Nawaz.
Follow him on Twitter, yeah.
He's a nice guy, Atif.
Yeah.
The best thing about that is the fact that Chuck thought it was absolutely hilarious because he said BAPS. I just feel like, yeah, nice one, mate.
Oh, come on. It gets better as it goes on because they're just keeping losing it. I'll put myself.
This is slightly better. Yeah, I'll put you in it, Chuck. Dear me. Right. Okay. It was a long time to wait for that.
Is that Chuck's big shock?
Yeah, it? Producer
yeah.
Chuck.
Yeah, shocking. This P45's one is
P45's coming.
This one I've P45's coming. Christ. Right, I'll tell you what we're gonna do. We'll do a legend of the week. Now, I've seen this on Instagram, pretty good. It was sent in to us actually by England Test captain, well, former England Test captain Michael Vaughan on holiday in Barbados. The words aren't quite there, but Chris, I think you'll quite like this. And Saqib, it's quality. So, yeah, play it in for his producer, Chuck.
Army, army! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Here he comes from. Here he comes from. He from England. He from England. Army, army!
Army, army!
What a boy. Quality boy.
Is that someone he's met on holiday?
Yeah, it was a guy wandering down the beach. The video's on the Barmy Army Instagram, actually. It's funny. Vaughan sat there on this sunbed holding this cocktail, and there's this, obviously, a local guy from Barbados just wanders up down the beach and spots Vaughan and starts singing it. It's very funny, very funny. So
I'll give it a watch properly.
Yeah, if you've not seen it and you are listening to the podcast, have a listen to this. Now, no hunt for a new player song this week. So I just wanted to revisit some relevant previous submissions, actually. This one is from Matt. He sent this in originally to our Instagram, England's Barmy Army on Instagram, at 1:30 in the morning back in February when we were in lockdown. So it's not like he'd been on a night out. It was obviously just getting smashed at home. His mate sent it in to us again. They think it should be the Ashes anthem. It's called Rooty, You're the One. Have a listen.
It was during, if you remember, it was during the India series. They stayed up to watch.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So he's obviously staying up drinking, watching the India series.
In Naka, where we first met, I cannot escape and I cannot forget. Rishi, you're the one. You still turn me on. The end is coming home again.
Yeah.
Right, it's pretty good. The vocals are questionable, but it's pretty good.
definitely from Yorkshire.
Yeah, you can tell, can't you? Thanks to Matt for that. It was great. And the next one is actually sent into us. This is really good. It's from Jack Grahamslaw. We thought we'd play it, actually, for Stokesy, actually, because we've got the news this week that he's going to be going to the Ashes. It's called Stokesy and the Boys, and it's an absolute belt. It's a proper song, Zach. You'll love it.
That can catch on, that.
It's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like
we need to get that to Woody for the Ashes tour. Woody would be singing that all tour if we can get it to him.
Yeah.
Need to get a guitar in the crowd, sneak one in.
Easy.
I tell you what I did see. I saw the Liam Livingston song on your social media this week.
Thoughts?
That's a belter. Yeah. I love the fact you've got his hair in it. It's one of those things where you see pictures of him and it looks like the elephant in the room a little bit. No one's talking about it. So I'm glad that's out there.
Surely that you've had some chat about that in the dressing room. Like you can't, obviously, right. Okay. I was going to say.
I actually met Liam and I said, is it all right if I post this? And he said, yeah, go for it. Everyone knows I've had a hair transplant. He said it's out in the open. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, we call it the reverse fade. What's it called when you're the reverse recede? You see how when you recede, it goes back. His actually comes forward. I mean, if you're not spotting that he's not had it done, then
He's had a good job. Saka need one. Can you, do you reckon he can? You can just sort of get him to pass on where he's actually had it done.
Discount code Liam Livingston for 20% off.
Yeah.
Just don't go for the reverse.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, mine will be more of like a stopgap rather than like then all of a sudden growing back the other way. Yeah. World Cup. Have you been watching much of the World Cup, Sack? Have you been watching? Well, certainly the England matches.
Yeah, I've seen bits. I saw the England games. Like we said earlier on the show, they've been unbelievable. Just all look like they've got all bases covered at the moment, which is nice to see.
Yeah. What do you reckon to the biggest challenge? Who do you think it'll come from?
I think Pakistan. I think we'd obviously back ourselves. You know, West Indies, that first game, big anticlimax. I thought West Indies would obviously be one of the strongest sides, and yeah, we just battered them really. But yeah, for me, I think Pakistan. Obviously, the way you know we beat them in the summer, but this is you know now in the UAE where they've played a lot of the PSL. Played a lot of their cricket in the UAE. It was their second home for a long time. And, you know, obviously we'll back ourselves to get through this first group. But I think if we, you know, come across Pakistan in the semi-finals or the finals, I think those guys will be the team to beat. They look a real strong unit. They've got, I guess, similar to us, they've got all bases covered and, you know, just the type of the brand of cricket that's needed to play out there. They look like they do that well.
Just, you know, talking about the PSL, Peshawar Zaimi, have I pronounced that one right? That's the
Peshawar Zaimi.
No, there you go. So there you go. So that's the team that you've been playing for or have played for. Franchise stuff. Is that something you want to do a bit more of? Because we've spoke to Liam and Phil Salt now, two fellow teammates of yours at Lanx, who absolutely love it. I mean, it's Liam's bread and butter, isn't it? Playing in the franchise stuff. And it was funny talking to Phil about all the corporate side of stuff. You know, when you've got to go to all the gala dinners with all the sponsors. And he was quite funny talking about that. Is that something you want to experience a bit more of, some of the franchise cricket?
Yeah, look, I obviously did my first stint of it earlier this year. So we had the South Africa series last November, which obviously after the season I was... after finals day last year, so we had finals day, I had a week off and then I was back in training. So literally that was the amount of time we had off, and then you've got all of these county cricketers having months off. You know, I was preparing for the South Africa tour, which when we finally found out I wasn't in for. So then literally the same day as the squad got released and I wasn't in it, Peshawar Zaimi got in touch. And, you know, I went out there and I'd never played with any of these guys, never worked with any of the management. The 2 days quarantine, and I was just like, what am I doing it? I was like, this is the worst thing ever. But I remember once obviously the cricket got involved and stuff, and I went out there, and that expectation, that pressure of one being an overseas player is something I'd never experienced before. You know, you used overseas players coming and playing for your county, and you're used to working with guys you've worked throughout the years and played with, whereas this was completely new for me. I'd never met anyone before. And then, you know, you just get to work, and from a cricket point of view, you realize you're being judged purely on your cricket, especially out there where they love their cricket in India, Pakistan. So from the first ball you bowl, the first ball you hit, the first ball you catch, all of that stuff, you've got all of these people looking at you as if to see, like, right, what's this guy about? And like we talked about before, when you have that responsibility and that pressure, I feel like that gets the best out of me, and it did there. So then I played one eliminator game and I did well, and you know, we lost that game. But then further down the line, they picked me up in the main tournament, which started the year after. So it was in February this year, and I was a bit surprised I got picked, because obviously seamers just don't go to the PSL. We've seen how many fast bowlers they produce, and they just bat their own and ship all of these batters in, like Livy and Salty and stuff. But I remember just getting in there, and same again, you're used to being around all of these other overseas players, like Faf du Plessis was there, you got Rashid Khan, all top players, and you're expected to do the same. And I just remember that pressure, and you know, like the responsibility. And for me, obviously, the message I had from the England group was, if you want to get back into our side, go out to these tournaments and don't just do all right. Go out there, be the leading wicket taker, finish as the MVP. That's what we want our guys to do. And that's another way of sort of putting yourself back in the shop window for England. And that was something that obviously was massive for me. And I went out to the PSL, did really well. And then obviously England take note and stuff, and then took that form on into the season, and yeah, managed to get that chance in the summer. And obviously you learn from that experience. So from a cricketing point of view, I'd love to do more of that, because you get to play around the world in different conditions. I was one of the least experienced guys playing in that T20 side. I was, at the time I got called up, I was only sort of 20, 30 games in, I think. And you had everyone else who was well over 100. So it's just, I was used to a certain role at Lancashire, whereas you go to a new side, and this is something I wanted to get exposed to, is being open to doing whatever was required. And, you know, it helped my game massively. But then the other side of it, like probably Salty said, was there's a lot of work to do off the field. And a lot of that I tried to just, especially when I started to do well, I started to like pull rank a little bit and just try to be like, I've got no interest in this. I've got no interest in that.
Oh, nice.
But it was all sort of fun stuff. But I tried to make sure that, if I wasn't doing great, then obviously you just do what you're told a little bit. But because I was doing all right, I just tried to offload some of these stuff. And one of them, we were doing an advert. I remember we were filming an advert, and Darren Sammy was doing it. There was me, there was Mujeeb. It was mainly like all the overseas guys, and Shoaib Malik and Wahab Riaz. And the advert was supposed to be finished by 11 p.m. You know what time it finished? 5 a.m.
Oh, no.
God.
And we were 5 a.m. and the bus was leaving at 11 or 12 the next day. So literally like five, six hours later for training.
What was it for? What was the advert for?
Hire, which was the owner's, I think it was the owner's company. It was like the advert, but it took forever.
We weren't singing or anything daft like that, were you?
No, we had to do, and you laugh, so we had to
I want to know. Tell us all.
We're all sat on this like sort of U-shaped sofa, and then like everyone sat there, but every three seconds, so it's a serious, like you have to pose, but every 3 seconds you change your pose. And you got all of these cameras and there's like steam coming up and everyone's sort of posing. And I remember everyone's got a position on the sofa. So if you picture a U, you've got like three people on the sofas and then you got three people on like the back. And I was one of the guys sat on the sofa, luckily, so I didn't have to do anything. But Ravi Bapara, who was also doing this, was one of the guys leaning on the sofa. And there was a second where I sort of had a look at him to see what different poses he was doing. Because it was actually quite funny, like, you had to be serious. And I looked at Ravi, and the only thing Ravi did to change his pose was he leant on the sofa with his right side, and then he turned around and leaned the other way. I'd imagine every 3 seconds he just kept swapping that round. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't surprised they finished at 5 a.m. with all of that. So,
you know what? It's so funny. We were on about the spot advert that Rishabh Pant and Virat Kohli did a few years ago. And they were playing in the IPL, and there's so many different things. And it's like, you know, what's lucky, Sack, is that actually we don't ever see any of this kind of stuff over here, do we? You know, back in the UK. So can you imagine that if you're playing like, right, here's the Manchester Originals or the Lancashire Lightning, team doing this advert for DFS or something.
You know, you say that, but I remember in the 100, we had like a filming day. And some of the stuff we were doing there, I was a bit like, you know what? If I know this is happening next year, I'm not coming to this. Like you had to just do like certain celebrations and stuff. And I was like looking around, I was like, are you being serious? Like, and luckily none of these were aired or shown anywhere. But just imagine like you've got a little 2 meter by 2 meter space and you're running across doing a stupid celebration. And they're getting you to do the Ronaldo celebration. I'm like, how does this link with anything?
No.
I mean, this is before he even came back to Manchester United. And I was just a bit like, you know, if we've got this next year, I'll be calling in sick.
There'll be some lads who are properly having themselves though, and they love that stuff, won't they?
Yeah. I reckon there'd have been some of them.
You don't have to name names.
While I was saying that, I was just thinking about who, but
Billings has got a Ronaldo celebration in the money. He's got a Ronaldo celebration when he gets a 50 or something.
Yeah, I think he has.
But you know what? Billings is the type of guy who would have messaged the editor or the producer to actually get that footage so he can tweet about it and tag Ronaldo in it. And just hope he sees it. Billings is that guy.
That's, tagging CR7 in it and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there is a player who plays county cricket who I know has done something very similar to that. And you know exactly who I mean, wicketkeeper. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Love it. Sack, thanks for coming on. Oh, just quickly before you do go, England, Australia, Saturday. Look, it's not the Ashes, it's a World Cup game. It's two different things, but it's going to get the juices flowing a bit, isn't it?
Pre-game, yeah. And then I think during the game, I think, you know, we should do the business. You know, with the two sides we've played, we've all pretty convincingly, and I reckon we'll do the same against Australia as well. Obviously, there's a bit of arrogance because I'm sat here and obviously the boys are doing the job out there. but I reckon we'll cruise that. There's a reason we're number one. And the boys out there, they should do the business. So, yeah, as much as we want to get all hyped up for it, I reckon it should be a no contest game, really.
Love that, Zach. Absolutely great. Love that.
Top man.
If we lose, just edit that bit out.
Yeah, we'll get you back on. Don't
you
worry. Yeah. Zach, love it. I know you've had a really long day and you've been traveling from Loughborough back all the way up to Lancs, and you've had a long journey and you jumped straight on a Zoom call with us to chat to us on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Top man.
Cheers, it's been fun.
No worries. Sat. We'll talk again soon and I hope you have a great winter as well out there. Do the biz.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Take it easy, mate.
Yeah. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Zaki Mahmood, top man.
Legend.
He's the legend of the week, and Chuck is definitely the shocker of the week. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Podcast Network.